Hey guys, what's going on? It's your girl JC Live with the JC Live Syndication. And you know, each week on Foxy 99 on the podcast, I try to bring in different people that got a spotlight in the community or artists. So you know, just a couple months ago, Domestic Violence Awareness Month just passed, but it's an everyday issue that touches millions of women and also men around the world. And so we don't want it just to bring awareness a month. We need every day to bring awareness to what's going on. Because one in out of five women, according to researchers in Cumberland County alone, have either experienced emotional or physical abuse. So it's something that we do want to talk about. So in the building, I got a special guest who came out of town. So you know this is how important it is. So go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, JC. This is Tanisha Bagley. How are you doing?
I'm good. And I so appreciate you for coming down because you didn't have to. You could have just easily called and it could have been crazy. But she came all the way down. So I really do appreciate you. So for everybody who's not too familiar with this young lady, I saw this beautiful soul. We had a candlelight visual here a couple months ago. And I knew I wanted to get somebody to talk about, actually two or three people to talk about domestic violence. And so we had a manual from the candlelight visual, and it was very pretty, had a young woman sing, and then you stood up and you talked, and it just kind of touched me because listening to you, there's some women who are still kind of like, they still have that brick wall up, but I can tell you, you might have a brick wall up, but you really wanted to reach people. It was like it was in you, burning you to reach the audience. Like, this is serious. This is what I went through. You can stop it. And it got my attention because usually stuff don't get my attention. I'm just kind of there observing. Okay. But when you started speaking, I really was like, oh, okay. Like, yes, I hear you because it was in your voice. I could feel it. So tell everybody about how you got even connected being a speaker at the light visual for domestic violence.
Well, first of all, let me say thank you for allowing me to be here. You know, when you call me, it's like, yes, yes, because that's me. I never tell anybody no, because this is truly my passion. And when you say, you know, you felt a burning in my voice and how passionate I was about letting everybody know not only what I've gone through, but how to get out of it, because it's so important. I mean, this is life or death. And I'm so glad you picked up on it. And I'm sure the audience did, too. But for you to continue this, you know, this is kudos to you for doing what you do to not only help the community, but to help the world. Because someone out there is going to be listening to this, and it's going to change their life one way or another. And that's the whole purpose. I don't like to call this my job, because it's not a job. This is something I've gone through, I've lived through, I've survived. And I just feel it's my purpose in order to share these things so that I can save another Tanisha Bagley, another male, child, dog, cat, whatever, from going through it. Because domestic violence affects us all, whether we want to believe it or not. Indirectly or directly, it does affect us. And so that's the reason why I do what I do. But you asked how I came to be able to speak at the visual here.
Yes, ma'am.
I've been speaking for a long time. And just to take you back, when I shared that I've survived this, I'm a survivor of 10 to 11 years of domestic violence. And it started for me when I was 14. So all through my high school years into my marriage, and you know, now I'm divorced from this individual. So I'd say 18 years ago, as a matter of fact, is when I got out of my situation.
Wow.
And since then, after writing my book in 2004, I have been all over the world. I mean, I literally cannot stop talking about this. And so, you know, it just continues to put fire under me because I know what it's doing. So when I got the call, of course, like I said, I never say no when it comes to this. I mean, I can count on one hand, maybe two fingers, where I actually had to turn down something, and it's through no fault of my own, but it was definitely not because I didn't want to do this work. And I came out here, and anytime anyone calls, I'm there when I know that I can share my story, change a life, and continue to do these things to help the world.
Right. Yeah. Without going into like details, can you tell us like a little bit of experience that you have had in the past with domestic violence? Because I always feel like people think it's just hitting, but mm-hmm. it can also be verbal as well, or how somebody treats you or neglects you in a bad physical, emotional way as well.
Of course, there are so many different aspects of it. And it's like you said, most people, when they think about domestic violence, they think of a verbal, you know, or a physical. But it's not just those two. You have the sexual, you have the financial, you have the mental and the emotional, the isolation from your family. There are so many different dynamics. And so it's not just one. And so when people are not truly educated on what it is, they don't know. So therefore, they can't define it, and they don't understand that that's what they're going through. And so that's where I and others come in and say, hey, listen, this is what it is. This is what it looks like. I am what it looks like. And, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. All of it is wrong. And so when you say, you know, what have I gone through? I've experienced every aspect of it. So I hate to say that I'm some type of professional, but I've lived it.
Right.
So who better tend to go out to tell the world, you know, what they've experienced if they've experienced it? There's a difference when someone has come into your life and they haven't walked a day in your shoes, but they say, I understand. No, you may be able to empathize. You may be able to sympathize, mm-hmm. but you haven't gone through it. So I feel like being that I have experienced it and I have lived it, it's easier for me to share these things because they can relate to me. And so going through all of those different aspects, it helps me to identify with someone who maybe have just experienced the verbal part of it. Yes, I've dealt with that too. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, the calling of the names, you're fat, you're this, no one's gonna like you, no one's gonna love you like me, blah, blah. You know, you start believing those things. When you think about the physical, of course, you can see that someone physically has hit or stabbed or shot or whatever, killed. Mm-hmm. Then you say, oh my, that's domestic violence. Well, you think about the emotional and the isolation from your family, from your friends. That's that part of control, keeping you to themselves. You know, those are some of the signs that people have to look at. When you talk about financial, I had, you know, a husband who took my money. You know, when I was the worker, I was the breadwinner, but he would take my check. So he controlled it all. So there are people out here, women, men also, who can't even control their checkbook. They don't know what's in the account. They get an allowance. I've had women say they have to ask for money just to go to the store to get personal items. So if you really want to get down to the grit of it, you know, it's much, much bigger than most people think.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to bring these examples to the forefront to let people know, yes, there is different examples of domestic violence and all of it is wrong.
So what are the signs? Because there's a lot of people who said, you can hear them talking, mm-hmm. and in certain people's minds, like I would hear certain females talking and I'd just be like, to me, I'd be like, that kind of sounds like a red flag, but to them it wasn't a red flag. So what are the big red flags that women or men that are listening can really kind of sit back and look at? Because there are some people who, like you said, isolation, mm-hmm. like they don't want them to have friends. Mm-hmm. Like some females, oh, that's cute. And I'd just be like,
no.
That's kind of, you know.
That's possessive.
Right. So it's like, what are the red flags that you can name that mm-hmm. people can, you know, see?
Man, there are so many.
Uh-huh.
First and foremost, I tell anybody in a relationship, if the person fell in love with who you were before you all got together, then why change you now? That's one of the main things. You like my hair being purple when we got together. Now you want me to dye it orange, hey, and it doesn't suit you. Or, you know what I'm saying? Or I don't like you wearing that. Well, I wore this before you got with me.
Right.
And you liked it then. Now you don't like it now. What's the deal? Oh, well, I don't like your family. I don't like that. When they start changing who you are,
mm-hmm.
don't walk like that. Don't talk like that. Don't be like that. Don't do this. Oh, you know I love you and I'm... No, no, no. When you start going through the change game, that's first and foremost, that's a red flag. You hear people, oh God, if he hits you once, of course. Like in my situation, we dated for over a year before mine hit me for the first time.
Wow.
Now, being the person I am today, and anyone who knows me, had he walked up to me and said, hi, my name is XYZ, and slapped me, I would have never dealt with him again another day in my life. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of the manipulation. That's part of the, I'm going to, you know, hide who I really am until I get you. And then the real person comes out, because it's always in there. So it's things to start looking for. When you talk about the verbal, oh, well, I was fine at 200 pounds when you got with me, but now I'm fat. Now I'm this. No, so it's things that you really have to take a look at and say, man, it wasn't an issue before, but now it's an issue now. And not only that, now you're physically abusing me. Now you're belittling me. Now you're, you know, embarrassed to be around. It's so many different things. But that's not love. And that's where a lot of people get it mixed up. You know, he's doing these things just because he loves me. You know, when I go to these schools and high schools and universities and I have these kids cracking up, and I say, if your boyfriend or your girlfriend is texting you or calling you all day, every day, wanting to know what you're doing, that's stalking. They need to get a hobby, a job, or something else to do with their lives, because that is way too much.
Right.
And, you know, they laugh, but then they think about it, and it's like, yeah, because he wants to know my every move, where I'm going, what I'm doing. Mine did that very thing. He knew every stitch of clothes in my closet. He picked my outfits out for me. And I didn't realize back then, you know, maybe because I was young, not making excuses, but I was so impressionable and I was so in love, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. You think you're in love and you're saying, well, I just want to please him. I just want him to love me. And if these are the things that I have to do to continue this, then I'm going to do just that. Not realizing that I'm losing myself.
When you say stuff like that, and I've heard that exactly that before, mm-hmm. is that part of low self-esteem?
You know what? I don't want to put that on people and say they have low self-esteem. Uh-huh. Because everybody wants to be loved.
Right.
You know, you in this relationship, you had high self-esteem when you got with me. Once again, what's wrong with me now? And so that's that beat down that person puts on you mm-hmm. to make themselves feel better about themselves.
Right.
So I like people to stop putting that on them. It's not always about low self-esteem. Mm-hmm. It's about what that person is doing to you. You know, I fell in love with my best friend. I didn't fall in love with an abuser.
Right.
No one wakes up in the morning to say, hey, I want to get with a guy that's going to belittle me today. No one says, I'm going to go get with somebody who's going to beat the crap out of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So give me some credit.
Right.
But and realize that it's all a mind game. And that's another thing. It goes back with the mind playing, the crazy making, the emotional, the master manipulation part of it, of playing with a person's mind and making them believe the negative, believe those things. So when you say, you know, poor self-esteem, I would say some may, but not all. That's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we survivors or people who have gone through any type of anything are very strong people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not so much as low self-esteem. It's just the fact that some things happen. Bad things happen to good people. And it may be some other things that contribute to the issue, but I don't always put it back on the person that's being abused
mm-hmm.
because to me, that's re-victimizing the victim.
Right.
And we have to stop doing that. We need to start looking at who is the perpetrator. You know, you get the question all the time, well, why didn't she leave? Well, why doesn't he stop?
So what do you do when you have situations like if you have a friend and they mm-hmm. keep going back to that person over and over again and they are not listening or anything, do you kind of like fall back and just let them come to you, or do you just keep, you know, keep this not hounding them, but you keep trying to talk to them over and over? Do you let them do their own thing? Because there are some women and men, even men, who will keep going back over and over, no matter how bad it is, no matter how bad the situation. And I guess sometimes it can wear and tear the friends around you that's trying to help.
Correct.
So what does everybody kind of do in that situation?
Well,
like
you be
that?
A friend.
Mm-hmm.
You be a friend. And what that means is, if that means you fall back, you fall back. But you also take that person aside and say, listen, for one, you don't deserve this. This is not healthy. This is not healthy for you or him or her. And this is not something that should continue on, because one of you may end up dead, in jail, or whatever. So therefore, you know, if you love each other enough, get the help that you need to be healthy, first and foremost. And don't come at them in a sense of, you need to leave, you need to do this, you need to do that, because what happens is the guard is up.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to always have that open communication and let them know that you will be there for them. But in the same sense, I'm not going to continue to be abused too, because you're pulling me into your abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what they're doing. And they don't even realize it.
Right.
And so, you know, I hear people say all the time, well, she can't call me no more. No, because that one time she calls you may be the one time that she really wants to leave and she needs you and you're not there.
Mm-hmm.
So that goes back to being that friend. So, you know, you say, listen, if this is what you want to do, I don't approve of it. You don't deserve it. There's help out there. If you want to continue it, get the help so you can stay, or, you know, wise up and get out. Whatever you choose to do. But at the end of the day, everyone in this relationship has to take ownership. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, they're adults in this situation. And somebody has to be the adult and say, listen, this is going to either go far left or far right. So we got to get it together. And so I hear that question all the time, but you have to trust and know that no one's going to leave until they're ready.
Right.
I stayed for almost 10, 11 years, like I said, and it wasn't until that one thing that had absolutely nothing to do with the years of abuse that I went through with this male is what triggered me. But then when I left, I was gone.
Right.
There was no turning back. But the reason why I do this, because there are so many others that are not here. You know, even personal friends, even personal family members that has been affected in my life that are no longer here due to domestic violence.
Right.
And so, you know, that's another reason why I do what I do. I'm like, how dare I? I can't run around and wallow in self-pity. This is something that I'm not going to say I chose. It chose me. But then when I did wise up, I do have to take responsibility and ownership of my own life and do the right thing and get out of it, or stop involving everybody in my mess.
Right.
So that's what I say, mainly, to most of people that's dealing with it. And you have to let that person know it's not just about you, especially if they have children. That really tugs at my heartstrings, mm-hmm. because they are so innocent in all this, and so many children die behind this, mm-hmm. you know, or left without a mom or a dad or whatever behind this. And they don't ask to be in these situations. They didn't ask to be here. And so be a parent. And if you don't care nothing about yourself, I want you to think about those kids,
right.
because they don't deserve it. So that's what I say. Just be there for them and let them know, hey. And even another thing you can do, you can report these things anonymously.
Right.
You know, people, you can call the police. You don't have to give your name. You can say, hey, I think XYZ is going through this. You might need to do a welfare check, you know, something, because someone's going to get hurt. It's your responsibility, too, in this community. We have to look out for each
yep.
other, even for those who are not looking out for themselves, because you could be that innocent person that get caught in the crosshairs, and you're not here because of someone else's stuff.
Right. What do you say to individuals who feel like she has to stick with him because he was abused? He's going through this. Work is not, you know, giving him the right pay. He's just going through so much and he's going to change and I'm going to stick with him. But do you feel like there are some men who can really go through the therapy and turn around? Is it safe for a woman to kind of stay through that process, or should she kind of like give him space, let him deal with it on his own, and then when he's done, come back, you know, and
yes,
get back
you
together?
I'm looking, I'm not in agreement, because you said it. First of all, there are a lot of people out here who don't have jobs, who have mental issues, who's going through things in life, but they don't abuse. Those are two separate issues,
mm-hmm.
okay? And that's what people need to understand. Oh, he hits me because he doesn't have a job. No, I can't take that, sweetheart. That's not acceptable. There are many people out here in the same situation, even worse situations, and they're still not beating on their significant others. So stop it. So what we say is, okay, those are two separate issues, and they need to deal with both. And in the midst of all of that, regardless of what anyone is going through, that doesn't give them the right to physically harm you or mentally or any aspect of it,
mm-hmm.
okay? So we got to stop making excuses for that. Kudos to the woman, because I'm one. I did that very thing with mine. I stayed. He had no job. I was the breadwinner. I was doing all of this. You know, he stayed at home with the kids, blah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But in the back of my mind, I knew all those things was wrong. I still didn't deserve to get beat. I still didn't deserve to be on eggshells all the time.
Right.
I still didn't deserve any of that. And so even by me sticking by him and being the best that I could be and some, and then you still don't want to do right by me, at the end of the day, I had to wake up. And I did. And I knew. I tell you, JC, I knew just if he had hit me one more time, this male was going to kill me. I knew it. And then I did think about the consequences. I thought mm-hmm. about my three children, my 9-month-old, my 3-year-old, and my 5-year-old at the time were going to be without their mom and their dad. And I didn't want that for them. That's not fair. That wasn't right.
Right.
And so I had it in my mind whether I'm going to die living here with him or I'm going to die leaving. And that's the choice. And I had no other choice but to leave. And I tell you, even after that, and statistics will show that even once a person leaves an abusive relationship, their chances of dying are much greater. And that's true.
Wow.
Because mine stalked me. When I left in September, he stalked me for 4 months and ultimately hid in the trunk of my car and kidnapped me from work. And that's what landed him in prison. So even after, but I stuck to my guns and I was like, look, no matter what, I'm not going through this with you anymore.
That's so crazy.
That was my life. That's life. And so many people are going through it. So it's much deeper than what you and I even have time to talk about today. And that's why I'm so glad you're doing what you're doing, because this is a conversation that needs to be had all day, every day.
Now, I know another issue is going to the courts and filing for protection. And a lot of women, I've heard women say they don't want to do that because they feel like it's not going to stop. It's like they feel like, oh, it's just a piece of paper. It's not going to stop him from acting crazy. So why should I do it? Is that true? Or do they just really need to go ahead and file anyways to get a protection and just try their best to, you know, I guess not protect themselves, but I heard there's steps you can kind of take, like, you know, look at your surroundings and, you know, but you can't, in my eyes, I feel like you can't stop somebody who's crazy.
You're absolutely right. And I understand because, like I said, I was that person who got the protective order. And as soon as I walked out of the courthouse, he was right behind me talking to me. And he was in violation as soon as we walked out of the door. So, yes, I could have turned back around, had him arrested, but for me, you know, and I know a lot of people, they don't want to see them end up going to prison. They just want them to stop. Like, I just wanted mine to stop. I wanted him to leave me alone. I was done with you. You can still be a father to our children, but you and I are done. So keep it moving because you had your chance and I was done. And I think a lot of us, we want that. We just want them to stop and get the help and move on. Now, that's not always the case, of course. And you're right. It is a piece of paper. A piece of paper can't stop a gun. A piece of paper can't stop a knife. A piece of paper can't stop him from stalking you, showing up at your job, and ultimately killing you, because we know that has happened.
Right.
But what I do say is you get these things and you stick to your guns and you say, listen, I'm going to let you know that I'm not playing anymore. And whatever is going to happen is going to happen. But I'm doing the right thing by myself, by me. To go through the court systems, because it's what you're doing is you're setting up a history.
Okay.
You know, even by calling the police, you're laying that foundation. So when they see that number come up, man, we've had multiple calls come from this house. This is serious. You know what I'm saying? This guy is showing a history of that person's abuse. And then ultimately they will work to get him off the streets or get him the help that he needs for whatever happens. But you hear that all the time. Yeah, I it doesn't protect me. I shouldn't do it. But I say, yes, you should. But I also say, don't play with the court system, because you can go any given day and it's packed. And they're going there and they go through all this process and all this paperwork. And then for the person just to say, oh, I dropped the charges. And Carolina, you can't do that anymore.
Okay.
You know, just like even going, you know, to someone's house. Somebody's going to jail.
Right.
If they find proof that something's going on in here that's dealing with domestic violence, someone's going, it's a cool off process, somebody's going away, as it should, because maybe that time away would give that person that time to think and say, hey, you know what, I need to get myself together, because next time it might not turn out unfortunate as this, you know? So, but I do say to those, take it very serious. But these judges and these police officers, I can tell you, after training over 700 police officers alone myself, that the number one thing that they hate to go to is a domestic violence call. You know, they all want to go home to their families just like you and I.
Right.
And it's one of the most dangerous calls. You don't know what you're walking into.
Right.
And so they take these things very serious. And so when you're involved in it, also you have to know it's not just about you, especially when you're involved in law enforcement or the court system.
So what other steps can women take, especially women who might not have the finances to move, they got kids or other situations, because everybody's situation is differently.
Yeah.
So what are, like, in a group setting, just to bunch it all in together, what are different avenues that women or men can take on starting the process to get out or just straight leaving?
Well, that's where your local shelters come into play.
Okay.
That's where your local court systems, because when you put these things in place, you know, you're saying, hey, I need help. I'm crying for help. Help me get out of this situation. And they can refer you to the local shelters. They can refer you to the local agencies that can give you the information to, you know, find better jobs, or, you know, if you need to go back to school, or what you need immediately to get you out of that situation. There are places where they can put you up in hotels. There's underground railroads for women and men who are leaving domestic violence situations. You know, there is help out there for you. You have to seek it. And you have to stop thinking you have all the answers, because that's what professionals are for, and you go and seek the help. I don't deal with the excuses anymore. I really don't, because we live in a country, we're not third world here. Go and get the help that you need. Seek the help. And if they don't listen, keep pounding until someone does listen. Mm-hmm. But you have to do it for yourself. And I tell you, when you let people know that you're serious, that you are really, you're not going to go back to him after a couple of hours or a couple of nights or a couple of days. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to stick with this and say, listen, I'm done. I can't deal with it anymore. Believe me, especially in my case, all the doors just opened. The floodgates opened. And everything I ever needed was right there for me, because I was ready to take that step and leave. And, you know, I was married. And I'll tell you this. I'm not all about divorce. I'm not about breaking up people's homes. I don't believe in that. You know, you hear about churchgoers and all that other stuff, or you shouldn't be divorced, blah, blah, blah. You just stick with them, make it work, all that stuff. But nowhere in any Bible that I've ever read does it say stay with anybody that's beating you every night. So I don't want to hear it. And if that person does not want to admit and get the help that they need to mm-hmm. be better, you are not obligated to that relationship, period. I don't care who it is.
Right.
And your safety is what's important. And so, you know, I'm all about this let's stay together thing. But let's stay together if we're going to really make this thing work. And there's not going to be any more abuse. But if you can't, I'm sorry. You need to separate. And you can live to see another day. And just go give it some space. Give it some time. Get some help. And then if you want to try it again, you try it again. But 9 times out of 10, if the person really isn't dedicated to making that change, mm-hmm. nothing will. But I will say there are some who truly do make that change. There are. Mm-hmm. But they have to want to do it for themselves.
And I'm glad you said that you live to see another day, because I feel like they underestimate people. They mm-hmm. underestimate the situations. Mm-hmm. And then when you hear stories about domestic violence, you know how after they died and they do the story on them mm-hmm. or, you know, behind the scenes and they tell you what happened, you can always hear that one friend or family member who always said, you know, they were scared, but they went back anyways mm-hmm. or they just thought, like, you just never know when it's your last time. So why take the risk? Like, you right. never know, because you can't predict somebody. You don't correct. Know if they're going to snap. You don't know, it's another human, you know what I mean?
That's right.
And we're all human, and anybody could get pushed to the edge, you right. know? And in the heat of the moment, they talked to I forgot his name, but he was a guy here. He did a homicide. He killed one of the kids and killed her. He said he just flipped mm-hmm. and he blacked out. Mm-hmm. And next thing he noticed, he killed him, but he was like, he blacked out. So it was like, stuff like that shows you that it's very serious.
Exactly. And it's funny you said that, because there are people in relationships where they have been with them for years and they've gotten married and they've been abused on their honeymoon night.
Wow.
I got abused on my honeymoon night. And the next day I still didn't say an omen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are people who have hit their wives for the first time in rage and killed them. I know this. Mm-hmm. There are situations. It was a case where a guy threw a remote control at his wife and killed her. He might not have meant to do it. I'm not saying he did.
Wow.
He may have just been throwing it at her and she, you know, failed to catch it or what for whatever. And he killed her. And I think what people need to understand is, until we look at this, to me, as attempted murder, because there can be an end result. JC, you think about it. I can go over here and I can hit you in the wrong place, not meaning to or whatever, and you can die.
Mm-hmm.
That's murder.
Wow.
That's murder. So until we start looking at it for what it truly is, we're not going to see change.
Right.
We're not. And people need to say, oh, well, you know, it's just a punch here. It's just a kick here. No. All it takes is that one spot and you're gone. And so we got to stop making excuses, because it's wrong. No mm-hmm. one should be putting their hands on anyone, period, point blank, no matter what the situation. And until we realize that, we're not going to see change.
Most definitely. Now, I know you're an advocate for this and you mm-hmm. do a lot of work. Tell us about, and I know you gave me a book, tell us mm-hmm. about the book and the work you do, because you do so much and you're passionate and your soul mm-hmm. is in it. Mm-hmm. So mostly tell everybody what's going on and what you have going on right now.
Well, I wrote the book back in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
I would have never thought it was going to take me at this point in 2017 to continue to do this work. And it goes to show you, you know, domestic violence has been going on since the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to continue once I'm dead and gone. But I just feel chosen. And I use that word with all sincerity, because it's just a true love that I have for people. And even to really know me, people will know that's my makeup. Regardless of me even going through what I've gone through, mm-hmm. I have a love for people. I have just a genuine heart spot that just wants the best for everyone. And I want people to do good, and I want people to be in healthy relationships. And so I speak across the gamut about mm-hmm. every and anything, you know, just being healthy. Even if you're not in a relationship, being the best you can be, giving them the resources so they can do better. Even if it's something about, you know, getting a better job or going back to school or obtaining a car or obtaining a house or getting your finances together. You know, it's just a love for people to show that everybody can do it if we help each other.
Right.
And it's just that genuine love that we should have, that agape love that we should have for each other no matter who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who I am. And so when you say I speak, I don't care who it is, whether it's a 5-year-old in elementary school or a kid in at a university, whatever, from the prisons. I've gone into the prisons. I speak to men who have killed their wives, killed babies, raped babies, done all kinds of things. But I still believe that people can change. And if you help them with the tools and they really, really are sincere, I believe that there's still good in everybody. I do. And so it doesn't matter. You call on me, I come. I don't care if it's one person in the audience or thousands. I'm there because I feel somebody's getting something out of this. And just being that living proof that no matter what you go through, if you're able to wake up every day, you are given that choice to make your life better. You do have a choice. Don't let anybody make you feel like you don't
right.
have a choice.
Right.
And that's what I want people to understand.
So how can people contact you? Because sometimes a lot of people are kind of discreet and they just might want to just shoot you an inbox mm-hmm. and or just ask you a question for mm-hmm. a friend mm-hmm. or, you know, just send you an email and just say, hey, look, this is what's going on. Can you tell me or just be a friend and tell me what I should do or mm-hmm. situations like that? So how can people, or if they want you to come speak at their school, mm-hmm. how can people contact you?
Well, first of all, I'll tell you what, I will give my personal email. Because you can do it one or two ways, and you can call me what you like, but I hate social media. And like everybody's probably gonna say, I don't like her, I don't like her. But it just drives me crazy. But I do have Facebook,
okay.
So you can reach me via Facebook for all the Facebookies
okay.
out there who want to deal with Facebook. I do respond, as you know.
Yes, she does.
Thank you. Please tell people I do respond. Yeah, I'm not one of those like, I'll get my assistant to get back with you. I'm the assistant. So, no, but you can reach me via Facebook or you can reach me via teabag20_3@hotmail. And but as far as the book, Print House Books is out of Atlanta. You can get it there. Amazon, it's all over the world. And the name of it is called The Price of Love, which is, of course, my true life story. And then I also had the pleasure this year as to being a part of a book called The Sexual Trauma Workbook for Teen Girls.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been doing phenomenal. That had just been released here in June of 2016. And it's a workbook for young girls who have gone through sexual abuse of any sign. Any kind. And what we were doing is you have the different stories and people were sharing and I was actually sharing my story and how it affected me and kind of giving them tips and things they can do to get through this process. So that book is doing very well too. But it doesn't matter. You can reach me and we'll discuss. But if you need me to come out and speak, I'm there.
Most definitely. I want to say I really appreciate you coming up here. And I really like to bring you back in 6 months and just kind of update it with the book and everything because mm-hmm. I feel like this is an everyday thing. And I want to say thank you for coming on. And I feel like God chose you for a reason because it's like your spirit is great. And it's like even when you walk through the door, you have this live energy. And a lot of people don't understand is like your energy can rub off on others. Your energy brings up the room, can make you happy. Because I was tired. Like, I'm tired. But when I saw her, I was like, oh, okay. it's gonna be okay, you know, because your energy is great. So I feel like you was chosen for a reason and you're doing great things. And I will say thank you for stopping through on a podcast, and most definitely gonna push your book and every other thing that you do. So you just keep us up to date on where you're gonna be at, so we go ahead and shoot it on social media. And I just want to say thank you, and I appreciate you, and I hope that everybody's listening will take the time to really listen to all the information. If you are going through it, man, reach out to somebody. Even if you're scared, they have hotlines that you call anonymously. Just talk to somebody. If you got friends out there, reach out to your friends. Don't push them away, man. Try not to. I know it's a difficult situation to go through, and everybody's different, so we can't group everybody the same or look at them the same. You have to look at the individual. And if you are a friend or a family mother, or especially a mother, don't ever give up on that, man. Keep hanging on and keep strong. We appreciate y'all for listening. I'll be back next week with another person. I'm out. Big Stick Foxy 99.